דבקות ברבנו הם in paragraph 24 chapter 24 דבקות ברבנו שמו שפירה is cleanness to רבנו. We'll leave it a little bit. You have to leave it to 30 or now? דבקותו של רבי שמואל ורבינו הקדוש היה יותר מוחשית. The cleaving of Rabbi Shmuel to the Holy Rebbe was, you could feel it. It was muhashi. You could almost sense it. Hu chasa bepoal b'tzel ha'shatag. But he almost lived as if the Rebbe is alive. He was under his supervision. All of his spiritual work, his order of learning, the way of learning, his feelings, his hashkafa, everything was based on Rabbeinu. ממש. הוא ביטל בתכלית הביטול כל התנצלות של ישות הרגשה לפני רבי הקדוש. He nullified completely any self-interest, self-feelings, any being of himself in front of Rabbeinu. Completely nullified. Some chassidim, they listen to what the Rabbi says and they do it. Rabbi Shmuel didn't listen and do it. He felt Rabbeinu in his whole life. He was living Rabbeinu. He wasn't just listening to Rabbeinu says and doing it. He was living Rabbeinu. Everything, all of his, the way he spoke, everything. He's saying here, there's some people which they nullify themselves as tzaddikim. It's easy for them. It's the way they're who they are. Some people are lazy to think and to think what to do, so they, whatever the tzaddik says, fine, great, I'll do it. And some people, Rav Shmuel was something else. Rav Shmuel, you have to understand who Rav Shmuel was. Rav Shmuel was like Rabbi Natan in a sense. Rav Shmuel was the biggest Talmid of the Eben HaEzer, Rabbi Sazan Mertzel. Rabbi Sazan used to get up for Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Sazan, the Godel Ador, used to get up of a kid, this 18-year-old kid, Rav Shmuel Shapira, when he was 17, 18. But when he got close to Rabbeinu, he nullified himself completely, everything he knew. One time when Rav Shmuel was in Shavuos by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that was on Friday, so on Shabbos morning, after davening, he went up to the room, he has a room upstairs where his children also go now, they stay there, above the tzion, and they sat there and they ate some kugel and they do that. So someone came up to Rav Shmuel, was complaining. So Rav Shmuel, I left my family, I left my wife, my kids to come here for Shavuos. I don't feel anything. I don't feel Rav Shmuel. I don't feel anything. So Shmuel sighed deeply and he said, "That's how it is. When you have a taste in the kugel, I can have a taste in the tzaddik." I was eating the kugel also there, and someone told me, you remember the story of Shmuel, yeah? You have a taste of the kugel. It was embarrassing. I'm telling you, there, it was embarrassing. It was right by the tzion. There was a door, the table over there, people that put food and stuff. Right by the tzion. So before, it was the end of Shavuos, and they were bringing out fruits and stuff, after Mincha, and they brought a platter of kugel. Right in front of the Tzorashvi, and everyone was like, it's so embarrassing. So I was very embarrassed.
You had a
kugel? When everyone finished, there was some kugel left on the table, so I went and took a piece.
Yeah.
But I was so embarrassed. I'm telling you, I was sitting in front of him. Yeah, I mean, it's blessed that, you know.
You mean everyone was running to the kugel instead of doing what they should be doing?
You know, you can have kugel, but you know, there's a certain way. It's not in front of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and in a certain way. It's a little embarrassing. I don't know.
We have to look at ourselves.
Of course, I can't judge them, but I was embarrassed.
You know,
that is not appropriate. Not here, at least. Not here, you don't jump onto the thing of a kugel. I'm not judging them, I was embarrassed in what was going on there, the situation.
You know the story of the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezrich. One day we were sitting at a dish, and those people were the students, not Aki Paki from the street. You know, it's a Talmudim, sitting with them with the fork even the striver in kafa and they're eating and Baal Shem Tov looks upset, disgusted, and the Mezrich with his prime son said, what's bothering you so much really? Do you see what I see? People eating. I'll do something, you'll see what I'm seeing. He said some Shem Kodesh and the Mezrich saw two rows of bulls.
Bulls eating.
With Shriman on the table. Okay, that's enough. You can turn back to what happened before. This is what people know a bit more about.
Yeah, two rows of bulls sitting down.
There's nothing embarrassment, it's the right word, though.
I felt shamed, I don't know. I was embarrassed.
That's a very appropriate word.
I think that's what I felt. I thought, yeah, maybe.
It's a very appropriate word for what
you don't go to anyone because of that kind of behavior.
It's happening.
Shmuel, even his food had to do with Rabbeinu. Anything he ate, for example, if it is, Rabbeinu says, what do you have to worry for Parnassa? Even a piece of bread and some cucumber is good enough. It's a good food. Even bread, that's what it says in Rabbeinu says it. Where does it say it? It doesn't quote where he says it from. It says it at the end of the paragraph, probably says where he says it from. Number two. Chaye Moran. So, that was the reality according to Shmuel Shapira. Bread and cucumber is good food. That's reality, because Rabbeinu said so. One time, Shmuel went with Rabbi Yitzchak Chingel, who was a young boy, Timurod. And for Yom Kippur Katan, Erev Yom Erev Rosh Chodesh, that was a long journey those days. And he was hungry, this fellow, Yitzchak Chingel. So he asked Shmuel, you have something to eat? So Shmuel said, yes. And what did Shmuel had in the bag? Bread and cucumber. So he gave it to him, and so Rabbi Yitzchak ate only the bread, he didn't eat the cucumber. So Shmuel said, why aren't you eating cucumber? He says, I don't like cucumber. He says, what? Rabbeinu said it's a good food. Rabbeinu said it's a good food. How could he not like it? That was his reality. His reality was that cucumber is a good food. So Rabbi Yitzchak told him, Rabbeinu didn't mean that Rabbi Yitzchak was out. He was a kid. He told him, Rabbeinu didn't mean that cucumber literally is a good food. But after all, even something little, even a bread and cucumber is also okay. It doesn't make a difference. You don't have to eat dafka steak. So Shmuel said, what? Rabbeinu said, this cucumber is good, so it's good. What are you going on to tell me, explaining what Rabbeinu said? It says here, cucumber is good, so cucumber is good.
Took it literally.
Also took it literally, yeah.
And we should too.
Even his flavors, yeah, Shmuel was according to what the Rebbe says. His emun and Rabbeinu was, listen to this, once of Shmuel, one of Shmuel's son, Nassan David, you want to go see him in the shul. Nassan David, a picture of him here, when he was a little boy. When he was a kid. I don't know if you'll recognize. A little bit you can recognize.
Hey, you got cucumbers.
Can you see that?
These are good, right?
Oh!
Two cucumbers. This is really good.
Listen, Dove. When
you
were a kid, I don't know. Very bad picture. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
Now
I got it.
So, Shmuel's son, Nathan David, had a very difficult, very bad wound that it started bothering his breathing. Until he was breathing like someone has asthma, like very, very, he couldn't breathe. He didn't know what to do. He could hurt. He almost blocked his breathing. Yeah. So they took him really to Shari Tzedek, to Dr. Barak, and they tried and they couldn't do anything. 3 days he was lying down and they became very, very, almost dead. He almost died. Every breath was a mush. Had to do like very like loud. He couldn't breathe. He was blocking his breathing. So they thought it was the last day. So they called up Shmuel from his brothers to be with his son at the end, at his end. Yeah, he's alive. Yeah. Don't worry. And Shmuel sat the whole night near his bed, with his eyes closed, completely cleaving to Hashem, sweating. And the whole night he was saying, Bizchus Rabbi Nachman Lefege. Bizchus Rabbi Nachman. The whole night. Bizchus Rabbi Nachman, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. In the morning, the sun was cured. True story. So everyone comes to check it. They didn't know what happened. You get this? You understand? He believed so much in the power of Rabbeinu. He said, "Bizchus Rabbi Nachman." Shomei Rabbi Nachman in the Zipuza.
Yeah.
Makir ata? No, Rabbeinu Nosson David. Yesh lo ben, ken? Ashur. שהוא כמעט נפטר, הוא היה ילד קטן, הוא קושי נשם. אז קראו לו שמואל מההתבודדות שישב שם על הידו, וכל הלילה, כי אמרו שלפני שהוא נפטר, שאבא יהיה איתו, כל הלילה ישב ואמר, בזכות רבינו הקודש, אבל אנחנו מפגל. בבוקר הוא התרפא, והרופאים היו בלם. קצת שמונה רבינו, אמרו. הווי, אמרו. The power itself gives the power. In fact, a person believes in the power of Rabbeinu, that's what gives the Rabbeinu the power to help the person.
Very good.
Like a prayer, think of a prayer. The more we believe in the prayer, the more the prayer has the ability to help
things. Effective.
Effective, more effective. Just missed a great story.
Yeah.
Tell him this story.
Story you just said?
Yeah, he wasn't near. Uwe.
The story about Rav Nosson, the son of Rav Shapiro, and he was almost couldn't breathe. He was in the hospital. Every breath he took, he could hardly even breathe. Finally, called Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel sat by his bed all night long. The exclusive Rabbi Nachman Metega kept saying that over and over and over all night long. The doctors had given up hope. In the morning, he was cured.
I was saying that the fact that he believed in the power of Albanian, that's what gave power to Albanian to fix it, to cure the sun. He opened the channel.
Yeah. Didn't say he said to heal him all night. Yeah. Didn't say he prayed, he did this, but he said one thing all night long. That's all he said.
He was sweating from my mind. Like this. Eyes closed in front of him. By the bed, Bizchus Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Nachman Lefege, over and over. Shmuel, even though he knew the whole Torah of Rabbeinu Bahart, of course, he knew the whole Shas, everything he knew. He learned all his life, he always learned. He refused to speak. Refused. When they forced him, the Shalshudis, to say something, he took a Gute Moran and he read like this. Where's the Gute Moran? He opened the Gemara and he read this. Shemitkashi b'kesher eize anoshi al ish echad. He read the Torah and he's okay. So after a while they understood, so they let him go. He was sure that who is he to speak in front of people? He's nothing. When people send him questions, they wrote him letters. He used to write back, "I received your letter. You have a very good question. It's good if you ask people who understand in this. How could I help you?" He asked this another time that he wrote back the letter. The fact that you're asking me, I'm asking you, please don't ask me. Don't do that again. Because who am I? I'm not stupid. I don't have any bina. Nothing. I can't give myself advice. Give others advice. But since you wrote, fine, I'll answer you. But don't rely on this. You better also ask someone else. Don't just rely on what I'm telling you right now. He wrote the Psalm of Devritsky. He was a big tzaddik. He asked him a question. He says, you're asking me questions in Torah. I want to tell you that even I didn't even merit to be the smallest of the chevraya of Chassid of Breslev. I'm nothing. The fact that what you're asking me that I'll write for you from Rabbeinu, I'm shocked. You ask that for me, right? There's all kinds of tzaddikim here of Breslev. You're asking me? You ask the Ravam Shternhaus, he was alive then. He's the grandson of Rabbi Natan. Go ask someone. Why are you asking the no one? The no one you're asking, ask someone. But since that still there's a mitzvah, Rabbeinu said that each one will give you them. That maybe I do have a point that you could get something from me. So I'll answer you. And then he answers them. Rav Levi Yitzchak was very against the way Rav Shmuel acted. He always begged him, why aren't you speaking? Rabbeinu said to speak, you must speak. Rav Shmuel had a different way.
But they're the best of friends anyway. They're best of friends. They always
do. Yeah, of course. But I have machlokes about this. Shmuel Shapira used to sign all the letters. Shmuel Shapira Breslevel.
Get interviews.
Also on his by the way, on his
he gave some interviews.
Yeah. But not recorded ones.
Could be later on.
You know. Only when they wrote it.
You have an interview with him?
A written one.
Oh, written.
But it was anything.
Even in Purim when he was drunk, he tried to force him to speak, he wouldn't speak. Until his last breath. At the end of his life, on Purim, one of the Purims of the last years of his life when he was very, very sick, had Parkinson, he asked of Shmuel was very, he was Rosh Hashanah already. It was right. So he asked of Meir Levinson to go with his children. He asked him, come to me, I want to tell you my spiritual tzava, my spiritual well. And then he went in. He told his children, I have only one thing to tell you, my wonderful children. I'm commanding you to go all your life in the ways of Rabbeinu and be blessed of the Chassid. That's the tzava, I said.
And they did.
And they do.